Do you believe there are forces beyond our comprehension, and that some of those forces may intervene on our behalf? Up next, we'll be talking about guardian angels. Stay tuned, little Stardusties. You're listening to Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
Things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre.
Every day that makes you say, hey.
This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal. Grandest of greetings, Stardusties. Tis I, your ghoulishly ghostly grilled cheese. Enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary. Space pirate and star queen. I am Exy. And as I was saying a minute ago, the episode is about guardian angel encounters. Truthfully, forces intervening to protect or bless someone has a lot of names. But I decided that guardian angel would be the most universally understood. And this was a listener-requested episode, though that listener was my youngest. He wanted an episode on guardian angels. So you can thank the little star dude, my youngest, for requesting this episode. And I'm thanking little star dude because I found some stories that either I hadn't heard before or I didn't know the exact details of. This kind of forced me to look into them. But before we get into that, let me pull some terrible tarot cards for you. Real quick, this bit is called Terrible Tarot. Why is it terrible? Well, you wouldn't pay me for this reading. However, on Patreon, I have a not-so-terrible tarot for Patreon subscribers. If you don't want to watch those, you could just send us money because you love us. I'd appreciate it. But anyway, here is me shuffling the cards real quick. And your cards for today are the Five of Pentacles, the Nine of Wands, and the World. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. Whew! Stardusties, I am feeling like you are at the end of a cycle here. And actually, I'm reading this on 3/25, on March 25th. So this actually could be like the end of winter, the beginning of spring. But this episode won't air until like mid-April. So what I'm saying is you're coming out of a difficult period in your life. You kind of struggled. And you're currently in the middle of recovering from whatever ordeal or endeavor you just went through. With the World card here, I am seeing that that cycle has come to its end. It is finishing out, and it will have been worth it, because the World card is usually a favorable card. So whatever you just got through, it's over, and you're going to see kind of like the fruits of your labor start to bloom soon. Ooh, I got curious, so I looked at the bottom of the deck, and it's the Seven of Swords, which means either whatever you just went through, you've had to kind of think on your feet, or you've been withholding some truth about whatever you just went through. Maybe not letting people know how much you've been struggling. Maybe you've been strategically not saying things. Or it could be there's a deceptive energy and somebody is lying to you, but with this being at the bottom of the deck and this particular reading being about recovering from a difficult ordeal and coming out on the other side better, though battered, I'm really thinking this is more of a you have had to think a lot and be very careful about how you approached whatever the situation was. And that was truly terrible. Just a quick weirdness in the news today. The article was published January 26, 2023. A British woman named Olive Westerman turned 100 in January. She was asked for memorable tips for longevity. So advice on how to live a long life. Her advice? Avoid talking to strange men and you'll be just fine. When asked if she had any more advice, Olive said, simply be happy and content to be alive and make the most of what you have. Now, Olive was married, but they did not have children of their own, and she worked in a children's nursery for a few years. She said one last key to living a long life is her time spent with young children. Over the years, I have spent a lot of time working with children, and this will certainly help to keep you young at heart, she said. She turned 100 on January 16th and was very excited to receive a card from King Charles and Camilla. I know it's April now, but happy very belated birthday to Olive Westerman. And happy birthday to you, Stardusties. Or have a very merry unbirthday if it is not your birthday. Have you ever had an encounter that seemed transformative or life-saving in any way? Did you think perhaps a person or an animal you encountered may have just been sent by a higher power to help you? Have you ever had your own guardian angel encounter? Well, on a YouTube clip from an account called Heroes Next Door, paramedic Mike Borello recounts a call he received about an accident. When Mike arrived at the scene, there was a white SUV on its side. He climbed into the vehicle to check on the people in the vehicle. What he described was that the driver was tangled in her seatbelt in such a way by her neck. And the way Mike describes it, if she hung there too long, she would have lost oxygen. In the vehicle was a woman who appeared well-dressed, with high heels, who looked relatively unscathed. This well-dressed woman was curled up behind the driver, and she was kind of holding her up. Mike asked, "Ma'am, what are you doing?" "I'm holding her up. She can't breathe if I don't. I'm supporting her." Mike yelled at the woman in his first responder voice, you know, the big guy in charge voice. "Get out of here. The vehicle's on its side. It's not safe. Let me take care of your friend." Mike watched as the well-dressed woman slipped out of the vehicle through the window. And Mike cuts the driver free. You know, he climbs out and he takes care of the driver. He makes sure that she's on her way to being transported and looked after and taken care of. And once he's taken care of the driver, Mike starts to ask his partner where the other woman went. "I don't know what you're talking about," said his partner. Mike explains that when he first got there, there was a woman in the vehicle holding the driver up. His partner is still sure he hadn't seen anyone else. So Mike begins to walk around to other first responders asking about the lady in heels who was in the car with the driver. And after asking around, he found out that there was no other woman at the scene. The driver was the only one in that vehicle. Now, Mike is embarrassed to admit that he may have just yelled at a guardian angel. But if she really was a guardian angel, she'd know that Mike was doing his job. The next story is from TikTok, from a Jade_Lee, that's L-E. And she posted this story January 3rd, if that helps you find it. But Jade says that for 5 or 6 years, she was walking her dog at the same place at the same time. And she said that she would see the same people on her route all the time. One of the people she would regularly see on her route was an elder man who she describes as Spanish. But he had a Spanish nickname for her dog. And he'd always approach Jade and her dog with the same questions and the same pleasantries. She said that one day when she was walking by and they were done exchanging pleasantries, the man shouts to her, "Hey!" So Jade turns around. The man said, "You know, we've been seeing each other at the same time, the same place every day now for several years." Jade says, "I know." He then asked her, "So how do you know that I'm real?" Jade remarked that she felt calm during this encounter, and she replied, "I don't." He then said, "Maybe I came to protect you." Jade said that she just smiled at him. She said that when he had said this, she was going through a dark time in her life, and she just told him, "Maybe." The gentleman said, "Okay, well, you have a good day." So Jade turned around, and she stood there for a moment. She hesitated. She reflected on the encounter she just had with this gentleman. She thought, what was that? So she turned back around to just look at him. And of course, he was gone. So she started to go back on her way when she noticed that all over the ground around her feet, she was surrounded by feathers. Jade said that in her heart, she felt like she really needed to hear this message. And she never saw the kind elderly man on her walks again. After 5 or 6 years, her friend was gone. In 1969, 25-year-old Ivy Olson was just recently divorced. She was living out on her own and struggling to care for her and her 2 sons and support them financially. They recently moved into a new building. Ivy says that on Thanksgiving morning, she was ashamed because all she had in the fridge were 3 hot dogs. So, in hopes of making Thanksgiving still a memorable and fun experience for her sons, she grabbed the hot dogs and she took them to grill at a nearby playground. So they spent part of the day at the park, hoping to give the kids some kind of fond Thanksgiving memories. But Ivy was still ashamed she couldn't give them turkey or sides or anything. And even on the way back, the boys expressed being hungry again. Ivy didn't know what she was going to do. They started to walk home for the evening. As they were rounding the stairs for their apartment, a woman popped out of a first-floor apartment to greet them. "I've been waiting for you. I cooked Thanksgiving dinner for you and the boys, but you guys left before I could invite you over." Ivy had never seen this woman before in her life. "I'm sorry, that's very kind of you, but I wouldn't want to impose," said Ivy. But the strange neighbor insisted, and the boys were already on board with the invitation. The boys and Ivy proceeded inside. Ivy recalled that the woman's apartment was warm and welcoming. She said that the dinner table was full of food. Ivy said, "I just remember feeling so comfortable around this person, and so thankful that I was no longer feeling alone." Ivy was even surprised to see her favorite side dish there. She said that the woman was very kind and loving. She seemed to already know that Ivy worked at a doctor's office. She seemed to know a lot of things about Ivy. But for an hour and a half, Ivy and her boys were met with unconditional love from this complete stranger. Her presence was like electricity. She had a sparkle in her eye, and there was life to her, recalled Ivy. When dinner was over, the little old lady gave each of them a gift and packed them all more leftovers than they knew what to do with. Except they did know what they were going to do with it. They were going to eat it. But Ivy said they had enough food for a week. The Olsen family had a happy Thanksgiving after all. The following morning, Ivy went to return the plastic storage containers that the woman had lent to her. Ivy knocked on the door and waited. Nobody answered the door. After a few minutes, Ivy went and peeked through the windows. The apartment was completely empty. Feeling like something strange was going on, and concerned about her new friend, Ivy went and knocked on the apartment manager's door. She asked the apartment manager where the woman had gone. The apartment manager looked at her confused. "That apartment has been empty for months." Ivy told him the story of her Thanksgiving there the night before, and the apartment manager just kind of expressed concern for Ivy. But in Ivy's heart, she knew something special had happened that night. She had the storage containers to prove it. Ivy went on to found the Angel Network Charities, which served hundreds of homeless families in Hawaii. Her program gave assistance to those in need of housing, health care, transportation, and job training. Her encounter and her organization inspired the hit television series Touched by an Angel. And in 1992, Ivy Olson was chosen as President George H.W. Bush's 1,000 Points of Light Award recipients, a nonprofit organization supporting volunteerism. This last story describes a hostage crisis that involves children. Listener discretion is advised. And if this is something that triggers you, I invite you to check us out next week. On May 16, 1986, former Cokeville Town Marshal David Young and his wife Doris took 136 children and 18 adults hostage at Cokeville Elementary School in Cokeville, Wyoming. David arrived at the school with his wife and a large gasoline-filled device that appeared to be a bomb. The story goes that Doris ran down the halls knocking on doors, telling teachers and students that there was a surprise in room 4. And once all the students were gathered into room 4, the surprise was that they were being held hostage with a bomb. The detonator bomb trigger was attached to David's wrist. He kept threatening to the group of children that he might, at any time, move his arm and ignite the bomb. There was a 2.5-hour standoff, during which time everyone was getting restless. So restless, in fact, that the teachers actually taped like a big rectangle around David and the bomb and instructed the students to stay out of the taped square area. During this time, the teachers entertained the kids and distracted them with games and stories. Some teachers led students in prayer. And some sources say David got really agitated and needed to leave the room because the smell of gasoline was filling the room the whole time. It was so bad they had to open the windows, actually. But other sources say that David had to get up to use the restroom. So either he had to go to the bathroom or he was overwhelmed with all the noise. He attached the detonator, it was like a string, he attached it to his wife's wrist. And the way the detonator worked is if someone moved their arm sharply, the bomb would go off. As David stepped away, the children became increasingly loud, as children do. And a frustrated Doris begged the teachers to settle the group down. Eventually, Doris accidentally lifted her arm sharply, and the bomb went off prematurely, injuring Doris. A first grade student at the time, Katie Walker Payne, said, "It was an explosion that I can't explain. A total instant black. The kind of black that you can't see anything. I felt compression and heat like nothing I'd ever experienced. I heard teachers screaming for everyone to get down. I looked in the center of the room, and all I could see was fire." A former second grade teacher said, "There were flames all over the room and children screaming. Just pandemonium. Another teacher was trying to help me escape. I said, 'I don't know where my children are. I can't leave.' But he just yelled, 'Get out! Get out!'" Ron Hartley, lead investigator for the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office, had 4 children who survived the bombing. When he arrived at the scene, he was immediately told that the physical evidence didn't add up. "I met the bomb tech right there at the door, and he said, 'Hartley, what you have here is a miracle. That bomb should have leveled the wing of this school, but it looks like the bomb blast went straight up. I don't know why. I can't explain it.' All the hostages escaped alive. 79 of them suffered injuries, mostly second-degree burns and smoke inhalation. a few other injuries from the bomb exploding and just pushing people back. But they all survived the bomb, when many investigators claim that the bomb should have leveled the school. Everyone survived, except for Doris, who was shot by David before he took his own life. So David too. But all the hostages miraculously survived. When the scene was observed, investigators discovered that the wire to the three of the bomb's five blasting caps had been mysteriously cut, preventing detonation. Furthermore, the explosive powder that should have lit the air on fire had been miraculously hindered from its deadly purpose. The investigators think thanks to the leaking gasoline. And even though the walls were all pocked from shrapnel, not one single person was hit with any of it. Or not a significant amount of it. But that isn't the only miracle. In the days following, children began talking about seeing people in white, angels, or deceased relatives keeping them calm. One of the four children from Ron Hartley, the lead investigator, had confided to a psychologist that was seeing him after the explosion that he was seeing angels on the day of the bombing. I came home with the intent of factually proving to him that he couldn't have seen angels, Hartley recalls. I asked him who he saw, and he said, I don't know, she didn't tell me her name, but I think it was Grandma Meister. This is exactly what Hartley was looking for. I told him, it wasn't Grandma Meister, because she's alive and living in Pinedale. But Ron's son insisted that his story was true. That's when Hartley got his wife to get out the family photo album. We put it on the table right in front of him, and I started flipping through the pages. I flipped to one page when suddenly he put his little hand on the photo and just beamed. Hartley said, when you do interrogations in law enforcement, you watch for body language. You can tell through physical reactions when someone is lying and when they are not. When my son saw that picture, he just brightened up and said, that's her! That's my angel! And it wasn't Grandma Meister. It was my Grandma Elliot. How do you argue that? She'd been dead for 3 or 4 years. Hartley's son told him that there were angels everywhere in that room, for everyone. And just prior to detonation, the angels joined hands around the bomb and went up through the ceiling with the explosion. When he said that, it lined up with the physical evidence. That, in addition to the fact that he picked out Grandma Elliot, is evidence I can't deny, he says. There were other children who also came forward with stories about deceased relatives or angels during the hostage crisis. The first grader at the time, Katie Payne, said, as I sat coloring, I looked up and saw a woman dressed in a long white dress. She had short, dark brown hair. She said to me, Katie, I love you very much. You need to listen to your brother and remember that I will always love you. I just remember nodding my head. I looked down for a second, and when I looked back up, she was gone. Katie really never knew who she had talked to. But then 8 months later, her mother pulled out an old locket. The woman in white was her grandma who had died when her mother was 15 years old. First grade survivor Jenny Sorensen Johnson had a similar experience. I had a teacher help me out of the burning classroom that I didn't know. I don't remember her saying anything to me, but I trusted her and I followed her out of the burning building. After the Cokeville miracle, she searched for the teacher who helped her that day. Finally, several years later, when she was 12 years old, she was flipping through a family photo album with her grandmother. Jenny stopped on a familiar face. I asked what grade this particular woman had taught and why she quit teaching after the bombing. My grandma looked at the picture of her Aunt Ruth, whom I was referring to, and said she had never been a teacher that she knew of, and she wasn't from Cokeville. Jenny explained to her grandma that that was the woman who helped her out of the school that day. And with tears in her eyes, her grandmother explained that there was no way that could have been her because she died earlier in the 80s. Now, not everybody in the room had seen angels or ancestors that day, Several of the people who had not seen angels reported feeling guided, or they felt like they inexplicably knew what to do and where to go. And Amy Bagasso Williams was taken to the hospital that day. When she was being cleaned up, the nurses were crying because they said that she'd have to have skin grafts and lots of plastic surgery. Two priests offered her blessings at the hospital, and she was told her scars would heal if she had forgiveness and trust in her heart. To everyone's surprise, Amy's skin recovered rapidly. Despite the severe burns, no scar tissue formed, and today she doesn't have a single scar from that day. There is a reenactment-style movie they made in 2015. It's called The Cokeville Miracle, if you wanted to learn more about The Cokeville Miracle. But what do you think, Stardusties? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe these people encountered what we'd consider guardian angels? Do you have your own guardian angel story? Or any other paranormal story you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. Throw some dollar bills at us at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. Remember that you are mightier than the monsters. And until next time, Stardusties, may your path be paved in starlight.